Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Mini Podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in the nonprofit world. With you today, I am Margaret Katz-Kahn, and I'm here with my teammate and friend, David Lynn Julie. And we are continuing our march through the different saboteurs from Shehrzad Shamim's Positive Intelligence Program. And today, the shady character who's up is Hyperachiever.
Hyperachiever. One of the most prominent ways that fundraising leaders sabotage themselves.
Yeah, it's so true, David. I feel like some of our fundraisers who we talk to and our nonprofit leaders maybe have a strong pleaser, which we will, but haven't talked about. Other ones are living more in the neighborhood of the controller and the saboteur, but hyperachiever seems to be high for right. so many of the nonprofit and fundraiser folks that we talk to. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think what gets collapsed is achievement versus hyperachievement. And I think we're going to do our best to uncollapse those things today. It's kind of like the controller, which we talked about the last time. Like, there's a certain amount of control that is helpful, you know, except when it becomes unhelpful.
Right.
And yeah. A lot of fundraisers are driven by achieving fundraising goals, and which is laudable and good, and it can provide, you know, certain amount of motivation until
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I feel like, and this is certainly historically has been one of my, maybe not my highest, but it's been probably in my top three of saboteurs when I took the assessment. And I think the place where we cross from achievement being a solid thing to this place of hyper achiever, where it's like too much, is it's like we start so overvaluing the achievement, like almost to the exclusion of anything else that can happen right. in life.
Yeah, it's an outcome-based thinking. Remember, the saboteurs, everyone, are these internal enemies or these internal thought patterns that in their origin had some useful purpose, like maybe early in your career as a fundraiser, you know, achieving the goal was a useful purpose. But when it gets put on steroids, it causes you to sabotage yourself and other people around you. So,
yeah. One of the things I think that happens in people with a really high hyperachiever saboteur presence is like they would rather die than fail. Like failure becomes like the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anybody.
Yeah.
There's so much fear about that.
Yeah. And I was listening to a course by Dr. Eddy. I'm listening to his course on the psychology of performance, which is a very good listen for everyone in the audience. It's one of the great courses, and Dr. Eddy's a really special guy. And he was talking about this distinction between sort of healthy striving. He was talking about healthy striving, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm listening to this because, you know, I compete in jiu-jitsu, and one of the traps that people, or one of the manifestations of hyperachieving is hyper competitiveness.
Yeah.
You know, that's not me. In fact, I actually had, you know, for when I first started competing in jiu-jitsu, I really didn't care whether I won or lost. I just wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. And I had to generate the, for me, it was like opposite. I had to generate the caring,
right.
like to really want to be on that podium, to wear that gold. And for me, it's about learning. And if I was to, there's something Dr. Eddy said, which was very helpful, was like, the only way you learn is by making mistakes. That's the only way you learn.
Yeah, I think most of us forget. I remind people of this sometimes, but you know how humans learn to walk? We fall down over and over and over again, right? Like, we have to understand how gravity works from this very experiential way. And then somehow as we get older, and especially when this hyperachiever kicks in, it's like we totally forget that that's a healthy way to learn, right? By falling down, by scraping, by bruising a little bit, you know, by getting a very tactile relationship with gravity. Oh, this is how I learn. But we forget that it might even be our nature to learn that way.
It's definitely in our nature.
It might even be.
And I, sadly, I think that all the best lessons I have learned in life have come from failure, not from achievement. You know?
Yeah, right.
Seriously, I forget all the things that I've achieved. Like, somebody would be like, "Oh, don't you remember when you nailed that thing?" And I was like, "No," but I remember the times where I didn't nail it.
yeah,
it probably helped me nail it.
I love, David, you talking about when you first started competing, because that actually seems like a great space where achievement didn't go into hyper achievement.
Right.
You know, that's and true. It's such good distinction.
Yeah. It was, I was actually kind of laid back about it, too laid back about it. And so there's a distinction there. So there's like and we've talked about this in other conversations about these saboteurs. There's a scale or a spectrum of these behaviors that are, you know, achievement is helpful, you know, setting goals and achieving them, going for what you want in life is very helpful. It's just that when that doesn't happen for you, hyperachievers can get seriously derailed.
Yeah.
And if you get bit by this hyperachieving bug, this is like the thing that I, when I talk to clients about hyperachieving, that's counterintuitive. Hyperachievers don't go for big stuff.
That's an interesting distinction. Say more.
Yeah. So if you are always wanting to win.
Right. And always afraid of failing.
And fear of failure, you will not go for big stuff. Like, you will not put your reputation on the line.
Right. So you won't apply for the big job or go for the world championship.
You go for little tournaments where you can always win the gold.
Interesting. Right. So limiting, right?
Yeah. In the fundraising realm, you will set a goal. They will only set goals that you know you can achieve.
You know you can achieve. Yeah. That's fascinating. There's a long checklist of other ways that this hyperachiever is not a healthy space to live. And one of them that we've talked about is often we see in our hyperachievers, they don't like hanging out in feelings, right? No. They'd prefer not to.
Right.
I should say we'd. Well, that's not true of me anymore, but sure was for a long time. No feelings, please.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the hyper-rational in another one of these mini podcasts. It's another area where we sabotage ourselves and don't want to feel our feels, as you say. You know,
yeah.
Because if you were to feel your feels, here's the thing: like, even the celebration of achievement gets cut because you will not let yourself really experience the gratitude and the accomplishment that you've made, because you have to go on to the next thing. It's never enough.
Right. So there's like, people have a lot of trouble being present, because they're always focusing on the future and the next goal.
Exactly. In other words, oh yeah, that was good, but now the next thing.
Right. Like, oh, right. Nice. Yeah.
Right. Huh,
go me. Okay. What's next? Yeah.
Or let's say that someone in your family dies, or a friend commits suicide. You're not going to let those feelings get in the way. Grief, for example, is an emotion that can be with you for a very long time, as you and I both have experienced.
Yeah.
And that gets in the way. If grief's going to get in the way of you achieving what you're up to, then you will not let yourself feel grief.
Yeah, that's so true, because feeling grief might mean that you miss a deadline, or, you know, you don't show up fully, fully sharp for a meeting or something.
Or you choose to go to work rather than be with your family.
Right.
During a time of great loss.
Yeah. And I think that points to maybe an even more inner issue with this, which is, I think the biggest, I mean, I'm saying the biggest, one of the very significant problems with the hyperachiever is it's a very conditional form of love that we have for ourselves.
Oh, right.
That we only love ourselves when we are on that path to achievement, or when we are ticking things off the list, and we have no compassion for ourselves when we aren't moving forwards.
Yeah. Oh, the judge comes in. The inner critic, which we've talked about, will come in and say, no, you're not achieving enough. And that will, so that's where the two will collude. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough until you achieve the next thing. And then after that, you're still not good enough.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And you're
that's
not lovable.
That's where the insidious
right?
thing. Yeah. Unlovable.
Unless you are working towards something like you aren't worthy of your love or anybody else's love.
It gets to the collapsing your worth or your worthiness with your achievement. See, this is when it becomes unhealthy. We are worthy just by who we are. We don't have to achieve anything to be worthy of someone's love or appreciation.
Right. We don't love our toddlers less when they land on their butts trying to learn how to walk, right?
Exactly.
We hold them, and then we can't do it for ourselves later.
There's another thing that we should share about this hyperachiever, then a way it sabotages leaders in general, is that it generally will cut you off from being vulnerable with others.
Right. It's a lonely spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we, you know, we do a lot of work in the positive intelligence program about connection and intimacy and vulnerability, and those spaces are when we're actually training people, are really intimate spaces that people do start to open up, and you see how the connection and the love actually comes through. But if you're always trying to achieve and not willing to be vulnerable about your failures or about your fear of failure, then how could anyone else in your organization, how can you give permission to anyone else to be afraid of failing?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Whew. There's a lot there.
There's a lot there. So what we will do is, I think we'll put a link to the hyperachiever summary in the show notes of this podcast so that you guys can, take a look at this and see if any of it resonates with you, especially the fundraisers in the audience. Yeah. And then, of course, we'll put a link to the Positive Intelligence coaching program in the show notes as well if you want some help.
Yeah. And we're finding, I think, as we have done so many of these programs with fundraisers, there's a lot in this 7-week program for the fundraisers out there and the leaders out there. So, yeah.
All right. So that, you know, go ahead and grab those resources and bring us home, Margaret.
Yeah. So this podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can continue. You can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or an annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.